Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Sports Headlines on a sunny Wednesday. In the 3 o'clock hour brought to you by VenueKings.com. Dogs with 5 games over the next 11 days, beginning tonight in Pullman, 8 o'clock right here on 950 KJR. Dogs lead the Cougs by 1 game in the conference standings, but the Cougs far ahead of the Huskies in the net rankings, need to go on a run to have a shot at the tourney. That would be the Cougs, not the Huskies. One of the original Seattle Mariners, Julio Cruz, passing away at the age of 67. Cruz had a 10-year Major League career at second base, including his first 6 seasons with the Mariners, held the team's stolen base record until it was broken by Ichiro. He also served as the Mariners' Spanish language broadcaster. Packers have restructured defensive tackle Kenny Clark's deal, freeing up $11 million in cap space, presumably to make an effort to re-sign or put the franchise tag on Devontae Adams. Saints have promoted defensive assistant Ryan Nielsen to be the co-defensive coordinator alongside Chris Richard. The two were teammates at USC. Saints, the only team in the league with co-coordinators. ASU president Michael Crow says that head coach Herm Edwards was not part of the school's alleged recruiting violations of hosting recruits during COVID deads period, and that investigation by the NCAA is still almost a year away from being concluded. And Cavs assistant GM Mike Gansey has been elevated to general manager to take the place of Kobe Altman, who was recently made president of basketball operations. Mike Florio just around the corner, but first, let's get the show on the road.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
Softy and I are playing tag team. Tag team February here on 950 KJR. I take a vacation. I get to C-TAC last night, which, by the way, Jackson, it was... And I'm not joking. 60 degrees colder when I landed than whence I took off.
Oh, geez.
At 4 o'clock in the afternoon from Los Cabos Internacional.
What was that, like 85-25?
Yeah, it was like 80. It was 84-24.
Oh, geez.
Was the difference? So that was a whoo. That woke me up.
Welcome back.
When walking through that portal there.
Smack in the face.
At C-TAC going to the Uber line, it was like, damn!
Yeah.
So that was, that was on. But, at, you know, in that said portal, I tagged Softy like they did in, you know, big time wrestling, right? Softy's walking one way. I'm walking the other way, slapping the hand. There you go. Have fun on your vacation, brother. But we've got Hugh Breedlove Millen, as always, filling in admirably whenever Softy and I are gone. Huey, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, guys?
I'm doing well. I'm relaxed. I'm back. I'm ready to go. Got plenty of stuff. You know, when I go on vacation, I keep this document, this quote-unquote show sheet, and whenever I see something, I have to, you know, jot it down on my phone, or I got to jot it down on my show sheet so I don't forget it to talk to Hugh about it when I get back. But I'll tell you one thing real quick about the trip. You've heard the term fish out of water, right? My son, especially my son, was, except when he was on the golf course this week, when he was very much a fish in water, and nearly had a hole in one, missed an ace by a couple of inches. His closest attempt at an ace of all time, and just an inch or two to the right, and we had our first hole in one. But he was very much a fish in water there. But going to see, we were at a hotel outside of town, so it was isolated, and just, you know, you could have been anywhere in the world tropical and, you know, you wouldn't have known, right, at that hotel. But, you know, you get in the Uber, and for those many of us that have been to Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, know what that little port area is all about, right? First experience for the 12-year-old boy and the 9-year-old girl to the beaches of Cabo San Lucas. And it's
okay. How would that go?
Well, my two kids are very, very different. My daughter, I can already see it. I'm a little bit worried about it, but she is much more kind of open when the music, when the music's rocking, she's moving. You know, she just, she's a girls just want to have fun type girl. So
is she looking for a pole?
Absolutely not.
Then you have problems.
Hewitt, you went from one to how much apprehension we need to have. Hewitt went from one to nine right off the bat there. No, I don't think so. She's got good morals, but she likes to, you know, she likes to have fun. So I'm not so worried about her in this environment. She's just kind of looking around. This is kind of cool. All right. I dig this. There's music playing everywhere. There's a lot of people and stuff. My son, from the moment basically he even could comprehend what was going on, whenever he was in a point where he was uncomfortable, and I noticed this for the first time, like on roller coasters, when he was like 4 or 5 years old, he would go to a different world, and my wife and I just called it to his place, and so we'd even make a joke of it, like, "Hey, buddy, you're going to your place, right?" Like, just he would completely go zombie face. We're on like the biggest roller coaster in the world, man. And I'm just like, whoa, this is awesome. And I look over at him and he is just completely gone. Gone to the world. No emotion whatsoever. And that's his coping mechanism.
And is that okay?
It's fine with me. However you want to cope with that type of thing is cool. And I look over at him and we're seeing, you know, there's Bear Buns over here. There's people trying to sell us stuff over there. Yeah. I'm just kind of, you know, I've been there before, so I'm just kind of taking it all in and whatever. And I look over at him, walking with him, that complete blank expression again. Mm. And I leaned over. I said, "Hey, buddy, you in your place right now?" He's like, "Yeah." He knows it. Mom and dad know about the...
Now, did he go into this place like 3-2 count, bases loaded, bottom of the eighth? Like, he doesn't go into this place and unwanted symptoms.
No, it's much more of a... Never sports related. I've never seen him in pressure situations do that. It's just more like uncomfortable life experiences. You know, the roller coaster, the haunted house, the, you know... just a situation like this where there's bear buns hanging out there and a 12-year-old doesn't know what to do. Because if he was any older, he'd be like, "Oh, this is awesome," right?
Give him 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. If he's 14 or 15, he's not going to his place anymore. If he's eight or nine, he's like, "Oh, that's gross, Dad." But he's in like that middle range where he just has no idea how to handle this. But you got any advice for me? As far as
I would say, when the street merchants offer him a doobie, just say, "Go ahead, kid. You're in Mexico." Yeah, he'll handle those bear bumpers a little bit better then. No, the reason I asked about the space is because I'd be concerned that's the healthy place, you know, and that he's going in there in appropriate times. But
seems to me like his blankie.
Yeah. Well, I was just there in Cabo in June and 2 years before that in June, but I know exactly what you're talking about, and they can be aggressive for sure, but I think next year, he'll be
different story.
He'll be falling that dental floss all around town for sure. Yeah.
No question about it. Mike Florio's got to wonder what the hell are these guys talking about. He's joining us now.
It's time for our weekly conversation with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Tired of buying and repping the same old Seattle sports gear everyone else has? For the best Storm, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, Rainiers, Sounders, and not to mention the largest Sonics collection in the world, check out SimplySeattle.com. Now with Mike Florio, here's Softy and Dick.
Mike Florio brought to you by our friends at Simply Seattle, who do not sell the knockoff crap that you would see on the streets of Cabo San Lucas. No. Only quality. Mitchell and Ness hoodies right now with various Sonic logos in multiple colors. They are back in stock. Check them out at simplyseattle.com. Michael, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We're doing well. I want to know if you've gotten your... I've seen this on your Twitter a couple of times. Have you gotten your copy of Playmakers yet? Because it seems like all your friends are getting your book before the author of your book gets a copy of your book.
No, and I've lodged an official complaint with Hachette, the corporate behemoth that is the publisher that owns the imprint Public Affairs that is publishing the book. I strenuously objected to the fact that I've yet to receive the book, and I think they are now trolling me. But that's fine. That's fine. The check has already cleared.
There you go.
If I have to buy a copy of the book in 20 days when it comes out, available wherever you buy your books, then I'll just buy a copy of the book along with everyone else who buys a copy of the book.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I can't wait to read the book. It's Playmakers coming out, Amazon, anywhere you can find your books in 20 days, and the clock is ticking. Well, Mike, I want to start with Aaron Rodgers. What did you make of that? I don't know if it was cryptic. It was just, it was a nice tribute to friends, family, girlfriends, teammates, former and current. What did you make of his Instagram post the other day?
Well, it was one of those things where when you looked at the text of it, you could reach whatever conclusion you wanted to reach. If you interpret it as him saying goodbye to the Packers, you could come to that conclusion. If you interpret it as him saying goodbye to the NFL entirely, you could come to that conclusion. If you look at it as just him getting ready to hit the reset button with the Packers on 2022, you'd come to that conclusion. I think the thing that was most telling was the last of the nine pictures that was attached to the message, and that was the picture of Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb standing with a gap between them, with Aaron Rodgers not in the spot that he usually stands during the national anthem. That was from the Chiefs game that he missed because he was COVID positive. You could look at that and say he's implying that he's not going to be back in Green Bay. And the bottom line is this. No matter what he says about it, he's smart enough to know what he's doing. He's not doing anything accidentally or coincidentally. He has a plan. He has a message. And he has become a guy who likes to troll us, plain and simple. And I think that that's kind of what he's doing. And I'm starting to wonder. Here's my theory. Here's my new Aaron Rodgers theory. It used to be that he's going to leave. I'm starting to wonder now, and I thought of this the other day when Bob McGinn, who's been covering the Packers forever, wrote about Rodgers' propensity to not take chances with the ball so he doesn't throw interceptions and hurt his passer rating. I can't help but wonder whether or not he stays put, because if he leaves and he goes somewhere else, and let's say they're the one seed and they lose in the playoffs, it's much easier to say he's the reason why the Packers can't punch it through when he has these great regular seasons, four MVPs for him, and they've never made it to the Super Bowl any year when he's been the MVP. If he stays in Green Bay and they win the one seed again, as they should, because the rest of the division stinks, and they would lose again in the playoffs, no one's going to say, well, it's Aaron Rodgers' fault. The narrative for now is it's the Packers' fault for not putting the talent around him to get through to the Super Bowl. But if he would go somewhere else and get the same result we've seen the last 2 years, number one seed and no Super Bowl appearance, it's much easier to say he's the one, he's the reason, it's on him. And I think because of that, I could see him decide to stay, because he's not going to want to take that chance of putting himself in a position where people say he's the one who should be blamed for all these failures to get to the Super Bowl. And it's crazy, I know, but I can see him thinking that way. And I'm starting to think that as he moves closer to the cliff, he's going to realize what that jump entails and maybe back off.
I talked to somebody who real knowledgeable in the league that his theory, I said, wait a minute, why would he want to go to Denver? We're hearing all these rumors about him going to Denver. That's the Pat Mahomes division. That's Herbert's division. I mean, that's a tough, plus the AFC. And, his thought was, yeah, but that's Aaron Rodgers. He looks at it and says, well, I'm Aaron freaking Rodgers. I can go into that division and slash with anybody. And so maybe we think things like what you're talking about. What's the evidence that he's thinking what you're saying, Mike? And maybe that he would be up for that challenge. Furthermore, we hear him say that the general manager of the Packers promised that he would trade him. If they get down to a hardball situation, who has the leverage in this? I mean, he's under contract, do you see a way that if he wants to get out of Green Bay, that he can, either because the Packers will just kind of allow him to do that, or because he can play some strong arm tactic?
Well, his belief is that they promised to trade him this offseason. Now, he also believed they promised to trade him last offseason. They refused to do it. I don't think they will renege again this year if that's what they did last year. The question, though, is what happens if he decides he wants to go to the 49ers, for example? Not that the 49ers have anything to give. Let's say the Buccaneers. That's a more reasonable destination, because at least the Buccaneers would have real trade assets for Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers say, we really don't want to trade you to a team that may be standing in our way the next couple of years to try to get to the Super Bowl. Not that they're going to be a team that has a reasonable chance to get there without Aaron Rodgers. But if the Packers are trying to guide him toward the AFC and he's determined to stay in the NFC, I think what he could do is very simple. He'd retire, and then he could pull the Brett Favre, where he comes back late July, early August, unretires. His cap number goes right back onto the books. The Packers are ridiculously over the cap as of right now. They're going to have to slash and burn to get under the cap. They're going to get a big bump to get under the cap if Rodgers retires. They're going to have to hustle during training camp if he shows up like Favre did when Rodgers was the new starter. And so I don't know that the Packers want to go that route, but that's his ultimate nuclear option if he chooses to go that direction. And I get what you're saying about him jumping into the AFC West and saying bring it on, but still I think he's smart enough to look at it big picture and say, it's one thing for me to keep failing to get the Super Bowl after great regular seasons in Green Bay, and everyone thinks it's Green Bay's fault. If they remove me from this equation, I go somewhere else and it's the exact same outcome, people are going to start saying, maybe it's him. Maybe he just doesn't step up in the big moments, even though he can get it done week in and week out between the start of the regular season and the end of it.
Mike, I'm trying to think of a precedence for the Deshaun Watson situation where a guy just freaking dropped off the radar for a full year, a guy of that prominence. But what can Houston get for Deshaun Watson, and what do you think the timing will be of a trade?
Well, there's two legal issues to be wary of, the criminal side of it. And Rusty Hardin, his lawyer, said in court the other day that he expects the grand jury to finish its work by April 1. Which would give folks clarity. Is he going to be charged at all with a crime? And if he is, will it be misdemeanors or will it be felonies? If it's misdemeanors, then the chances of being placed on the paid leave list diminish, and it's easier to do the trade. And in fact, if he's charged with misdemeanors, they would probably get them resolved fairly quickly so he could move on. The civil cases are the key, because the Dolphins refused to trade for him last year during the season until the civil cases were resolved. They had 18 of the 22 ready to resolve. The final four massage therapists alleging sexual misconduct during therapy sessions held out. It didn't happen, and so the trade didn't go down. The Panthers would have done the trade without any resolution of any criminal or civil liability, but he didn't want to go to Carolina. So the question is, assuming we get these criminal cases resolved sooner than later, will there be teams that are willing to trade for him with 22 civil cases pending? My understanding, I'm getting ready to write this at PFT, multiple teams would do it. The question is, are they teams that he would play for? And that's what he's going to have to ask himself. How much does he have to recalibrate his desire as to where he wants to go? Because he's got that no trade clause. Right. And so he has ultimate control over whether or not there's a trade. How much of that does he have to soften? Does he have to entertain other teams that maybe he didn't want to play for, acknowledging that, you know what, I have to get on with my life at some point. And he's got the leverage in this one, because he got a $35 million fully guaranteed salary for 2022. Last year was 10. And people were surprised the Texans paid that and didn't get anything in return. This year, it goes up 350%. So, you know, at some point, the Texans are going to have to just trade him wherever he wants to go and take whatever that team will give to get that $35 million off the books.
Well, you've given us a good synopsis of the options. You have a law degree. What do you think is most likely to happen with him?
I suspect he's going to be charged with one or two misdemeanors. There are a couple of these massage therapists who claim that there was an element of force that was at play. You know, it's very politically difficult for the prosecutor to not present the charges. And they say all the time, you can indict a ham sandwich if you want to. The flip side's true as well. You can not indict a ham sandwich if you want to. And if the prosecutor doesn't give a convincing presentation of evidence against Deshaun Watson, they won't return an indictment. But I suspect that there's going to be a misdemeanor or two, and it gets resolved and it's done. And then the question is, what kind of of suspension will he be facing? And even without any criminal responsibility, I go back to the Ben Roethlisberger case from 2010, where he was suspended 6 games, reduced to 4. And there's a lot of language from the letter the commissioner sent to him that would apply to Deshaun Watson. And I feel like politically and from a PR standpoint, the league would have to do something about Deshaun Watson as well, regardless of what happens with the criminal or the civil cases. And that's another wrinkle that whoever trades for him has to factor into the question of whether or not he's going to be available at the start of the season.
Mike, 20 days and counting, right, for playmakers?
20 days. I've switched my description from pre-order to order because, really, what's 20 days? Just order it now.
There you go.
And it'll be there in 20 days. And they actually had to increase the run. They had to print like 9,000.
Nice.
So, to my amazement, people are buying it. And so I'm telling people, hey, if you want to make sure you get one of the first batch, you better do it now or you're going to have to wait.
Thanks, Mike.
I do it now.
Congratulations on a great pre-order run, man.
Well, I appreciate it, and we'll see how it goes from here.
Sounds good. Mike Florio. Mike Florio, a friend,
Mike.
From brought to you by SimplySeattle.com. Hugh, a local superstar athlete, has decided to take a 2/3 of their salary pay cut in order to put the best team around them. We'll talk about that and its implications to a particular quarterback next on 950 KJR.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Washington Huskies and the Seattle Kraken. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Yesterday, the most decorated athlete in Seattle sports history, and I don't even think that if you use the term decorated, which simply means honors, awards achieved, the most decorated athlete in the history of Seattle sports is Sue Bird. Anybody could debate the greatest athlete because that is subjective, but the most decorated athlete is Sue Bird, and she has decided to come back for one more year as the point guard of the Seattle Storm to attempt to win a fifth WNBA championship in her tenure. That's something that probably will never be broken in Seattle sports history, at least not in my lifetime. I don't think any Seattle athlete other than Sue Bird is going to win 5 championships. Not in my lifetime, not in Hugh's lifetime. But I thought it was very interesting. As a part of her press conference yesterday, she dropped this little nugget on why she decided to not make the max of $221,000 like she did last year, not make the max of $215,000 like she made in 2020, not make $134,000 a year, which she made between 2016 and 2019 as a part of her long-term contract, why she instead decided to make the league minimum of $72,000 this year.
Winning championships and being a part of teams that go on that journey, that's everything. That's why I play. That's the motivator always. And I think nothing really matters outside of that. So while money is amazing, because I feel like you're referring to the vet minimum, while money is amazing, and of course, you know, we all want to be in a workplace that rewards you in those ways, I find that winning, there's going to be other rewards, some monetary, some otherwise. And I'd rather be on a winning team, a team that has a chance to win, if it means that the money has to get spread in a different way.
And the money can be spread in a different way when you're dealing with such a small salary cap as you are in the WNBA. An extra $150,000 to spend is like a really good player and a half, if not two players, to an 11-player basketball team that you can sign because she was willing to do this. And Hewitt, it resonated with me. For obvious reasons, because we have been talking about another superstar in this city that, as of yet, has not decided to go down that road. Not to say that Russell Wilson won't, but he has not yet decided to go down that road.
Well, I think there's a couple ways you can look at that money piece. If we're going to draw a connection to Sue Bird to Russell Wilson, on the one hand, you could say, well, wait a minute, if she was making 2.25 or thereabouts, and then she's going to drop down to 73, you know, at, certainly as a percentage. And you'd say, you could say, well, if you only have that kind of income, you know, that extra, you know, 150 grand in that range, like that's substantial. Then you could say, well, you could say, well, when it's that insignificant anyways, you know, like you say, okay, if a pack of gum, you know, goes from, you know, 40 cents to 80 cents, I mean, do you really care? You're right. You know, yeah, it's doubled in price, but it's only 40 cents, right? I mean, so there is that point that you could look at it either way. But like I said, I don't know what her financial situation is. I assume she has some marketing deals and what have you.
Yeah, she's made a lot of money, but and so is Megan Rapinoe. But I mean, not Russ Sierra money,
right? Yeah, I just want to point out there's two ways to look at it.
Right.
You could either you can look on the left hand, and you could say, well, wait a minute, she doesn't have the money that Russell has. On the other hand, you could say, well, $150 grand may or may not be life changing for her. Right.
Correct. But that she gave. I'm just looking at the percentage of salary cap. She gave the Storm an extra 9% of the entire salary cap with her move. I mean, can you imagine if Russell Wilson or any of those quarterbacks decided to give their team now? Because we shouldn't be talking about $35 million versus $215,000. We should be talking about percentage of the NFL cap versus percentage of the WNBA cap. Can you imagine if a quarterback, well, one already has, he wore number 12 his entire career, gave back about that, right? About 9-10% of the salary cap to his team.
Yeah, well, over a five-year period with the Patriots there, he gave up $10.3 million less than the highest paid guy, which certainly he could have if he wanted to be hard.
He could have demanded.
Playing hardball, sure, he could have demanded that. And in that time, the Patriots won 3 Super Bowls. We've talked about this, and all 3 of them were in fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drive situations. That's an official stat, by the way. So those were very close games that now in that they also lost a game against Philadelphia in 2017 in that span where, you know, he went on the field with two minutes and 20 seconds to go and needed a touchdown, and he ended up getting sacked and fumbled. So while he won the majority of them, he lost one. And the point is the Patriots were balancing on the blade of a knife through those years, whether they won it or whether they lost it. And, you know, it's reasonable to infer that $10.3 million of extra cap space for the Patriots, depending on how they used it, would allow them to be a better team and maybe push them over. Now, really the question is, and I do think that you can't separate the two. You can say the percentage of the salary cap for Sue Bird or Russell Wilson, but you also have to say, okay, what are you asking of them financially? If this is a viable conversation, A, is there precedent for it? B, does it make financial sense? What have you? C, what is the impact? How are you likely to increase your probability that you're going to win a championship, right? All of these things I think are absolutely central questions to the narrative or the notion. If there's a good discussion to have over this, it's, hey, Russell, are you going to give up the money? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to answer those questions if you're going to make that serious question.
Well, we also have to talk about the way she phrased it, where she says winning championships is everything. And that we hear similar things from Russell Wilson, right? He also talks about legacy, but we hear that winning championships is everything. And Tom Brady has gone even further, right, than just winning championships. He's basically said, you know, he's devoted his life to the football, to football and winning championships, right?
Well,
I don't have his exact quote, but I'm sure you probably do.
Well, yeah. In our house, not much that Tom Brady does gets biased, but
that's what I figured, so.
Yeah, and you know, not that anybody cares, but for the purpose of disclosure for this, I mean, Tom Brady is my favorite athlete of all time. And part of that has to do with the fact of how my kids have connected to him. And, you know, when you have kids and you're coaching your own kids, you know, just it's been a neat journey with him going back, you know, even to the Super Bowl anguishes in 2007 and 2011. But Tom Brady made a very unique contribution and sacrifice by having the salary cap below. And for him, in that documentary, Tom Versus Time, I believe it was a Facebook production of all things, he just looked matter-of-factly right into the camera, not like he was a WWE, you know, the Rock superstar, trying to rile guys up. It wasn't like this emphatic, you know, hey, I'm going to be profound right now. You know, he just kind of said matter-of-factly, if you're going to compete against me, you better give up your life because I've given up mine. And then the documentary proceeds to show you the ways in which he's done that. And so while we should note, hey, Peyton Manning didn't do it. Aaron Rodgers didn't do it. There's a long list of guys that didn't do what we're talking about with Russell Wilson here. But a couple of facts. Number one, the most percentage of the salary cap that any Super Bowl winning quarterback has ever had is 12.6%. Russell Wilson next year is projected to be 17.3%. So well above, substantially above. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and what I do, just look and say, I emphatically believe this, and I want to emphasize it. Russell Wilson has earned that contract. The market bears that. That's what it's 2022. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL and a damn good one, probably on the way to the Hall of Fame. There's a certain market for that, right? If you're center for the Lakers, you're going to get paid. Like there's certain positions in sports and in life, right? You have a scarcity. It's a highly coveted skill you have. It's scarce and you're going to get highly paid. He has earned that money. The only thing that would cause me as a fan to say, all right, let's put a comma there and say, in 2014, you said, I want to be the greatest ever. In 2019, you told Dan Patrick that you're the best quarterback in the NFL. No doubt. Just a couple weeks ago, he said he wants to win three more Super Bowls. So he has, on a number of occasions, talked in terms of, okay, he wants to be bigger than just being a quarterback. He wants to have this impact on the game, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that the reality is that as you're looking at this, you're saying, okay, if you're going to fulfill all of those goals that you have talked about through the majority of your career, you're going to have to confront the reality and the precedent of this contract and the percentage of the cap. And you're asking yourself, if you're going to win a Super Bowl this year, you're asking to go way beyond precedent by being at 17.3 versus 12.6, the highest, right? And so, look, that's just a decision he would have to make along with his wife, right? But we have had KJ Wright say that he should. We have had Cliff Avril say that he would. Mike Holmgren was asked to comment about Avril and KJ Wright's comments. And he said, yeah, I agree. He says, how much is enough? And so we've got some pretty highly placed luminaries in this city with respects to football and the Seahawks that have asked the question and analyzed the question and said, yeah, Russell Wilson needs to make this sacrifice if he's going to be the great player that he says he wants to be.
And a fan base that's echoed that sentiment. And I want to talk about the other side of the coin when we come back, because there is an argument, and that I've heard from some fans against Russell Wilson taking less. And we'll talk about that coming up next with Hugh Breedlove Millen on 950 KJR.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the Washington Huskies and the Seattle Kraken. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Softy and Dick without the soft one, vacationing, probably playing some golf somewhere. Hey, the T-Birds return to Seattle Center for one night only. This Saturday, February 26th, the T-Birds soar into Climate Pledge Arena to take on the Everett Silver Tips in the Battle of the Sound. Grab your friends, order your tickets on Ticketmaster.com, and we will have the game right here on 950 KJR. How about that? The Tips and the T-Birds Climate Pledge Arena Saturday at 6:05 right here on 950 KJR. Hubie LaMillan is back talking about this, you know, Russell Wilson situation that's been thrown around about him potentially taking less money. And if there are people on the other side, and we should probably do a poll on this, and if we did, I'm sure it'd probably be 80-20 at least of Seahawks fans saying, yeah, you know, he should take less money. But what I've heard from the vocal minority is, well, we just don't trust John Schneider and Pete Carroll to spend that money wisely anyway. So yeah, why should Russell Wilson take less if Pete and John are going to just squander it? So I've got thoughts on it, but I want to hear your thoughts on that.
I'd love to hear your thoughts. I would just say, general managers, nobody bats 1,000, nobody bats zero, right? So if you have an extra amount, a bigger pie, and you already acknowledge going in that you're going to have X percentage of failures and X percentage of hits, that extra still allows, from a percentage standpoint, it still, from a probability angle, allows you to probably get a player or two.
I think that people criticize, and we had Michael Sean Dugar on last week that was criticizing Pete and John for some of their missteps in free agency. And he mentioned guys like, you know, Luke Jokel and Eddie Lacy. And I was kind of like, you know, I even said to him, I was like, you know, Luke Jokel and Eddie Lacy, I mean, those are one-year nothing deals. I mean, one was like $3 million, one was $7 million. I mean, yeah, they were bad calls, but I would much rather have my GM's misses be on one-year $3 to $7 million sure contracts than 6 years $75 million contracts that we see teams like the Jags and the Jets and the Dolphins and the Lions and the Giants. I mean, They have made a mockery out of free agency over the last 15 years because they just continue to throw money like that around. So I guess I don't understand the criticism of Pete and John spending money illogically. Now, Jamal Adams may be an exception. I mean, that may be the first one. I'm not ready to say that yet, but we may look down the road, 2-3 years down the road, and say that was their first one where they not only spent draft capital, but a whole heap load of money on a guy that didn't produce.
Well, every host on KGR tries to drag me into a Jamal Adams. They just lay the bait out there for me.
That's going to be the first one, though, if it goes down that road.
I'm just going to refrain from hammering on him right now, I understand your point, and you're absolutely right, Dick. To have a 1 year guy that you know, on a contract you can get out of, no big deal. And you're right, it's the substantive, it's the draft picks and what have you. And there's no question, they have not been as successful over the last handful of years as they were early on. You know, Mark Twain said, if you have a reputation as an early riser, you can sleep till noon. And I think that they built a reputation in those draft years, 2010, 11, and 12. I believe it was 9 Pro Bowlers, 17 starters, just remarkable. And then you get the free agent pickups, picking up Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill in the same year. Chris Clemens was a great pickup. I mean, just, you know, they were getting guys that are around 26, 27 years old that they had seen enough of on tape to believe that there was more on the bone. And they were absolutely right. It seemed like they hit on everything. And so maybe we got spoiled there, but they have fallen off by any objective measure. They're below the median in terms of what they've done in the draft and in talent acquisition. And so the record shows. But, you know, but as far as Russell on this idea of, okay, would you consider doing that? You know, to me, again, I just look and say, dude, keep your money. That's fine. Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, I'm not asking you to do something that that anybody else has done other than Tom Brady. And if
who, by the way, is the only one to buck the trend. I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he's the only one, but, you know, to a great effect. And I think that he would say absolutely that, in essence, he was spending the money on winning championships. Does that make sense? Like, if he's given up that money and he knows he could get it and they were able to use it, he was spending the Patriots' money to get other players. You know, right now, Russell Wilson has career earnings of $181.4 million. Okay. Just through his career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's going to make a hell of a lot more. I'm just kind of a geek in a lot of ways. All right. I envision this deal where Russell, he negotiates his contract. There's a press conference. He goes in. He's got Snyder to one side. He's got Pete Carroll, all the cameras right there. They hand him the pen. He picks up the pen and then, he just puts the pen down and he says, you know what? I'm not going to sign this contract. And he rips it up. And he says, what I would like to do is entrust you to, I want you to come back with $10 million less. And I want you to spend that money and spend it wisely so that we can win a championship. Can you imagine what, I mean, that would be the lead story in SportsCenter, the video of all that happening. Yep. People, and when you consider your off the field earning potential and what that would do for potential sponsors, and if he were to win an extra championship, the earning power that he has the rest of his life. I mean, what do you think Tom Brady could do on the speaking circuit right now?
Oh, God.
You know, all the ways that Russell Wilson wants to touch the world, he's going to touch the world a lot more if he can get a couple more Super Bowl rings, and he's confronted with this reality of his 17.3% of the salary cap trying to bust a record through a record that sits at 12.6.
It is going to be something that we're going to talk about for the next year until he signs that next contract, and I don't have any feeling that he is going to go down that road. I totally
agree.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It would be one of the most unbelievable gestures we've seen in sports, and he would cement himself as probably the favorite son of Seattle forever, whether they win a championship or not.
It'd be a national story for decades.
Exactly.
The first guy to ever do it that dramatically. Yeah.
355 on 950 KJR. We'll give Hugh a quick break because we've got Petros Papadakis brought to you by our friends at Sweet James coming up next right here on 950 KJR off the top of the hour headlines.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.